Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out, the most exciting TV on TV.
Yeah, some people think that, actually. They say, oh, I saw you.
They're crazy.
There. Yeah, I know. Right. So. Judy Nathans.
I'm Robert Winters, yeah. And I'm crazy.
No, you're crazy to be following all this. And
it's
and
true.
Anyway, right. I will just follow your lead because there's just so much.
Maybe the first thing that you was just talking about a little bit, you know, actually, this was almost like peace and harmony up at Sullivan
peace
Chamber at City Hall.
When? I didn't notice any of that.
No, compared to last week. Last week when they had the...
190 people for Sullivan Court.
Right, the 1,400 or 1,800 page agenda. Biggest issues ever to hit mankind.
Yeah.
And how many... I don't even remember how many people are speaking
here. I said 190.
190, was
something
it?
Like that. Crazy, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it was pretty wacky, and interestingly, last week they actually didn't really vote on much of anything because the public comment
things
took so
had to
long
be continued. The courthouse thing had to be
right. They tabled
garage.
The overlay, so that'll show up again after the election. Then there is the courthouse has got punted to tomorrow.
Well, the parking garage.
Well, that's right. As
it's
some
really the parking garage.
As some of the people who claim this isn't really about us trying to block the courthouse development. Yeah. This is really just about the parking garage.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, the disposition of 420 parking spaces in the First Street garage.
And that's continued till tomorrow?
Till tomorrow.
Well, we're talking today. We didn't give the date. Today is September 17th?
Today is September 17th.
So it's tomorrow at the 18th. I think it's at 3.
Right. I think that one's at 3. And then
televised,
there's one a little bit later on, which is the...
No, there's one at 12 and one at 3.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So which
the
is
the
one
cannabis one's at 3, maybe.
That's right. So it's
12 o'clock, is it? One or the other, it's going to be prime time for the city council tomorrow.
But so because they get to go back to back on two of the most contentious issues of the day.
I can't remember a time that it was this.
You know, it's a little bit. It does remind me a little bit back in the rent control days. If there was big proposal, and
I
then
didn't follow it as much.
Passions really got going. You know.
Yeah.
Right. In some ways, I have to say this is actually uglier. You know, in many ways during the rent control days, you sort of knew who all the players were.
Yeah, it was sort of straightforward.
Yeah,
now
it's sort of like, you know, hi, I'm with the small property owners, and hi, I'm with the Cambridge Tenants Union, and
it was
and they kind of knew each other. So
you know what? It was like plastic bag or paper, and now you've got all these different kinds of the same thing. It's not simple anymore.
No, it's not simple.
There's so many players.
So they still have to make, I think they will take a vote tomorrow. At least that was the plan on the disposition.
Which one are we talking about? Cannabis is, or the parking?
They may vote on, but they can't ordain anything having to do with cannabis at an ordinance committee meeting.
No.
But the thing is that the 12 o'clock, if I got that right, is actually a city council hearing that was scheduled specifically for the purpose of doing this disposition.
Continuing discussion. Right. No public comment. That's over.
It was done as part of a hearing.
It was recessed.
Action during last week's meeting. So now it's continued.
Right, 11 o'clock.
So they could very well do the vote.
Right. So that'll
be interesting. And honestly, I don't really know where the votes are, but
there really wasn't any discussion at last week, so this will be the full discussion.
The rhetoric is all over the map, alarmism, and then people accusing people of alarmism, and you know, people who just want to stop the courthouse project, and people who are just talking about I don't want to lose my parking in the garage.
Yeah.
And
the
accusations are really flying.
It's really bad.
Most of the accusations are absolutely off base, by the way. You know, I don't think anybody's doing anything that's particularly
It's got neighbor
nefarious.
Against neighbor, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. But you know? I don't know that there was any particular way around that. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, and actually there are three issues I think I want to mention about this. Actually, let me just throw the one, is that...
Are we still talking about the...
Yeah,
garage?
It seems like we have a new way of doing civics and politics in Cambridge, okay? So
a new way.
Leading up to this vote that didn't happen because of the tabling of the overlay, right? So there was this... citywide mailing from
I heard
small
about this. You know, I didn't get it
because
I don't live in a house anymore.
Yeah, I scanned these and so I have a few copies. I make copies of
this.
This
was sent out, mailed out?
These were mailed out citywide. It was, and some people were saying, like, well, that's crazy. Why do we want to do that? You know? But the truth is, it was a small property owner sent it out, and with it came an envelope and a membership drive. So, not to be too cynical about this, they are actually using this to do basically drum up memberships.
Which they never had before, did they?
Oh, they've always had memberships.
But is it paid or just free?
In fact, the author of this, I believe, basically helps to support himself with those memberships. So,
you're making all kinds of accusations here.
Well, I've looked at the records.
Oh, are they true?
But the thing is that it seems to be sort of a new way of doing business. Rather than just going up and chatting up your counselors, and calling up your friends and whatever and having a united front. Now it's the day, we live in the day of the mass mailing, prior to a vote. So this was the one prior to the overlay. I don't know that this was citywide. I only have a piece of it, but there was also a really big one that was sent out by the Leggett McCall folks about the parking garage disposition, trying to get people to.
So this is just to
drum up and support it.
Well, I'm not getting it anymore because I live.
This was mailed to my address.
All these things are going to properties that are small properties that are probably homeowners.
The smart move is you do targeted mailings if you don't want.
Yeah, because those are the people that show up at things, not apartment complexes. Right. Or people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And on the cannabis issue,
I did get
that. We talk about that.
Now I did get
apparently,
that.
Apparently, somebody's bankrolling this because it ain't Richard Harding dipping into his
savings
account.
No, but the fact
account.
Is, I did get that. And I live in a mixed income community now. So
right. So there's this very kind of racially charged card about. I can't help but call it racially charged because if you choose to use the thing you're arguing for. The equity applicants for, to support a particular amendment, which is currently before the council that they will no doubt talk about tomorrow. They've chosen the URL Race Cambridge, making it clear this is .org. Like this is all about race. The rhetoric is really getting just wild and crazy.
And Denise Simmons, who's African American of
the
slave
anti-equity
amendment.
Slave amendment.
And
right?
I wish I had read hers, but you've read hers?
I did, but I'm not.
What did she say that they're so against?
I don't know that it's so much that as much as that they have one particular thing that they want. And
they want the 2-year moratorium.
And things are getting inflammatory. By the way, the hearing, which is the 5:30 hearing about, or no, 3
no,
something
it's
hearing.
3 o'clock.
That's right.
Or is it 11 o'clock? Didn't they complain? Wait a minute. There's an 11 o'clock because they complained that who's going
to
show up at that? I think that's on Thursday.
No. I hope I don't get this all wrong here. To the best of my knowledge, here it's actually. Oh, you're right. 11 a.m.
Okay.
Cannabis business permitting ordinance tomorrow.
12 o'clock is today. 3 o'clock.
And then 3 o'clock, city council convene.
The parking garage. Okay. So 11, and they're both televised.
Yeah, but the thing I find noteworthy about how is now is these mass mailings are going out to sort of drum up people to come talk.
You think that people would use the? But they're doing mailings now.
Well, apparently, we don't believe in representative democracy anymore. We believe in basically, getting everybody to sort of come up in mass and basically kind of cow the elected officials.
But what's wrong with that? You can agree or not agree with it. At least people get it in the mail. Some people don't go on Facebook. Some people don't use social media.
True.
So I think that's they're trying to get.
No, I mean, there's nothing illegal or anything about it, but the thing is that it does reward those who have the deeper pockets to go and cover these sort of
things. Well, what else is new, Robert?
I know. I'm not saying it's a brand new idea. I mean, people have been running political campaigns this way since the beginning of time.
Use your own judgment.
But on single issues before the city council,
this
is a relatively new phenomenon.
But, Robert, the whole thing about affordable housing, which you hate, issue. No, you do.
I believe in the affordability of housing. Absolutely.
Okay, that's different. But this proposal, this petition or whatever,
right.
It is a single issue, but it is an issue that encompasses many things. And I think that's why there's such a pushback.
When they were trying to do all these amendments to the overlay, where they were essentially trying to rewrite all of housing policy for the city.
I know, that was
which
crazy.
Is sort of
what,
the wrong way to do it.
It was like 20
hours
of testimony.
Up, right, but again,
recessing the meeting.
Which kind of almost proves that this was not the right way to do a process.
Yeah.
So they met last night, and the city council did meet last night. Right. So though there were a lot of communications having to do with the garage, and it's definitely in the public.
But that wasn't on the agenda.
No, because it was part of the hearing for tomorrow.
Right.
And then
so you couldn't comment on
right.
that.
So that may very well be voted. Because this is more than just a hearing.
They're going to discuss it. The city council did not get a chance to discuss it because there was so much public comment that there was no time at 1 in the morning,
right.
whatever it
exactly,
was.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. All right. And then the cannabis, you know, there was some discussion about that because there was public comment and it got heated again, right? Yeah. You know, the prior hearing actually ended in, they recessed it because, honestly, I thought people were actually going to come to fisticuffs. So
when was that? Because was that televised?
That's like sometime in the, within the last month, maybe 3 weeks ago or something like that.
And it got really bad?
It got really bad.
And it was an ordinance hearing? Was it a committee hearing?
It was an ordinance committee hearing.
Okay, I'll have to look at that because I did not watch that.
The thing is, you know, I mean, I'll just to point out the obvious.
Why did it get bad, though? Money changes everything. Yeah, but why did it get bad? Was it public comment or was it discussion among the
public
counselors?
Comment got particularly heated. There were players on... from the Revolutionary Clinics, the marijuana supplier crowd,
the medical marijuana suppliers,
the economic empowerment people versus the social equity people.
Okay.
And basically...
Well, why are they... Oh, are they against each other?
In some respects, they are. I mean,
what is the difference again?
That's
a hard one.
The social equity is really sort of to make up for what are perceived to be sins of the past because of the war of drugs. Certain people, based largely ethnically defined,
but isn't
being
it like more
wronged and somehow disempowered.
But I thought that was economic empowerment.
No, economic empowerment is very much more specifically. I think there is also kind of a racial, ethnic,
but
socioeconomic
people that do not have the
component.
Funds or the capital.
But it's, but it's basically the little guys, giving
the
them a break to break in and be able to get in on the ground floor of this. Now, the difficulty, again, I don't think it's all about Central Square because I think... some of the loudest and most annoying people at these hearings actually are not planning to open in Central Square. But the thing is that, you know, it's kind of inconceivable to imagine that you would have the Revolutionary Clinics, which is the medical marijuana dispensary, which will at some point or
be
another,
in the old Blockbuster.
Become recreational as well.
And that is, they have a lease on that building, right?
But then there's also a social equity applicant that wants to take over the old Harvest space.
Right.
And then there's an economic empowerment.
Is that the central kitchen space?
It wants to take over the central kitchen space.
And do we need three places?
We don't need three. And I can't really imagine that getting three approved within spitting distance of each other.
No.
So therefore, there's a competition. And what that means is that you have different people who want to... they want to make some money.
Yeah.
You know, this is not, I mean, no matter what they say, this is not all about public service. I mean, this is about making some money.
It's right.
You know, and some of it's great, you know, providing some jobs for some local, I think this would be wonderful. But the thing is, they are in competition. That's why things, I think, are heated, you know. And the different various amendments, and I don't think we need to get into all the particulars, tune in tomorrow at the hearing if you really want to. But
so in other words, I bet those are going to be available.
They favor some parties over
others.
Will
they be available in print probably at the hearing?
Yeah, they're actually all already available. Yeah.
Well, who do you ask?
They actually had them available at the council meeting last night.
Oh, okay.
And part of the communication, so you could probably pick them up
on the
city
website.
Maybe I'll
go over there and try to get
them. But the
them.
Thing is that you know, money really does change everything. And, you know, so when people are basically competing over, you know, the ability to actually get in on the ground floor of what could potentially be something very lucrative, you know, say, if you think the other guy's going to get an advantage over you, you start getting a little ticked, right? And that's kind of the issue. You know, I don't know if any Solomonic wisdom is going to prevail here, where they're going to find some way
is that,
that
King Solomon?
Yes.
Was he wise?
Well, they never did cut the baby in half, as he proposed, right? But the thing is that, you know, he provided the wisdom and got all the parties to sort of come to a compromise. So is it possible to do that? Maybe. But honestly, if there's going to be two outlets opening in Central Square, but there are three who want it, then somebody's going to go home unhappy, ultimately.
So are you saying that, say the moratorium gets passed or whatever, that the Revolutionary Clinic could open their medical marijuana in that space, but not recreational?
They're almost open now.
So they can legally open their medical marijuana, but not sell recreational for 2 years.
That's one of the proposals.
And everyone's going to be confused and go there to get their recreational probably, and then be told, no, go across the street.
Right.
Or go next door, wherever it ends up.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, because we're not allowed to sell that. Even though we have a lot of marijuana in the store, we're not allowed to sell it.
I may get me a medical marijuana. I mean, I'm old. I'm sure I can get some condition. I'm serious. I mean, not that I want to try it, but
I'll pass.
I'd like to be legal.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, that was wild. Now there were a lot of other things, you know, some of which were also contentious.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I thought last night was very disturbing.
One thing that I found about as interesting as watching paint dry was the New Street self-storage overlay petition, actually second version. I believe it was actually originally introduced allowed to just die and then get reintroduced. I think it's a fundamentally boring topic, quite honestly, but the thing is, you know, whether we should allow this a storage facility to be built or not.
Well, but can you explain, Nancy Glau did introduce this new language, contract zoning versus spot zoning.
Yeah.
And which is this?
You know, I'm not the best person. But the thing is that the way I at least heuristically understand it is
heuristically.
Well, I mean, that's a math word. You're so okay, smart. Sorry. But the thing is that if you have, if you do zoning, like, actually, I'll give an example of this right now.
Yes.
If you sort of say, well, we're going to cut the, we're going to artificially push allowable densities down, but to force you to come to the table.
Is that called down zoning?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we're going to cut a bargain so that if you build either affordable housing or this or the other thing here, then we'll let you do
what
you want to do.
We'll allow you to do a little more.
So there's kind of an exchange going on.
And that goes on a lot.
It does tend to go on, and it seems to be becoming kind of the norm. I think zoning originally, and maybe the world would be better this way, but it certainly would be simpler this way, was really just sort of say, okay, you put your smokestack industries here, you put your kindergartens there.
You put your rich people here.
In some places, but I have yet to see any evidence that ever happened really in Cambridge. The thing there's a correlation because established neighborhoods of certain density was over there, and then when that's how it was, and then they
introduced the zoning, and then places where they tried to
said, well, this is the low density stuff, this is the higher density stuff. This is
there's more space or whatever.
I don't think the Color of Law book. You know, I think
it refers more to urban areas. Yeah, there's truth to that.
You can do some pretty simple internet searches, and you can see that zoning laws were abused horribly in a lot of places.
They were
once they were made available to cities and towns around the country.
Well, they didn't want multiple unit places in a lot of places.
Well, the thing is, that's one of the abuses.
Because it's attracting less.
Absolutely, that was one of the
abuses. People that don't have as much, they have to rent.
They wouldn't allow subdivisions.
Okay, but that's happening a lot of places.
Right, that's happened around here. Yeah. But the thing is, I think the Cambridge story is a very different story. And so people are actually using things that were definitely true around other places in the country. And they just, assigning it to say, see, Cambridge is terrible. Mm. I don't really think that's the story.
Thing. No, okay. That,
you know, I mean, if it's politically convenient for you to promote that narrative, well, I'm sure people are doing that. It's as easy as ABC. Right? But I don't think it's really a particularly valid thing. Now, it's true that over time, you know, people do tend to sort themselves out. People of means tend to cluster. You know, people
you
who
you
couldn't
you
get in there,
what's
they tend to cluster.
And what, right, you don't.
Some of the more iffy neighborhoods tended to be the ones where the rents were lower, too. So then
there are no more iffy neighborhoods in Cambridge.
Well, then that's kind
you
of
know,
been
the iffy slum neighborhoods are now million
that's
dollar
That's been the changing
condos.
Thing. It's true.
Yeah.
It's actually, and I do find it funny that some of the ritzy upper class West Cambridge neighborhoods were really where all the Cambridge firefighters and policemen went and found homes, because it wasn't
North Cambridge and
right,
stuff.
Right. You know, so now the neighborhood changed around them, but it wasn't
well,
like
lucky
anybody
them if they had
these.
Those houses. And there are people that have had their homes for 30 years or more. And, God bless them. But some of them are just selling out because they can make a lot of money and
It's true.
Cambridge.
And then many of the people who do sell out, who sold out, 5 years later, they go, damn, why did I sell? You know, because my property would have been worth three times as much now, and I could be renting it out.
Some of them are retired happily somewhere else.
Well, I mean, I think the real phenomenon was for a lot of people in East Cambridge and a lot of other parts of Cambridge was that if you bought your house for $40,000 40 years ago, and then now somebody's sending you a letter saying I'll give you $2 million.
Yeah.
You go, whoa, I hit the lottery, and you take the money, right?
And you go buy a condo somewhere cheaper than Cambridge.
Yeah, and listen, my feeling about that is that
this
may not be ideal, but people do take care of themselves, and I will never fault somebody for taking care of themselves.
No.
So, you know,
there are people out there that can afford, I'm only going to sell to someone that's going to do this or that, maybe. But that's rare.
Well,
most people don't have that luxury to say, I can do that with my money.
Right. But one point I continually try to make to people, though, is that, the city made some decisions back 30 some odd years ago mm-hmm. and more, you know, when the manufacturing base of Cambridge pretty much mm-hmm. vanished.
Yeah.
And you actually had, I remember, you know, down Boston Woven Hose area, down around East Cambridge, mm-hmm. Wellington, Harrington area, where there were bombed out looking buildings, and it was disinvestment yep. all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Kendall Square pretty much got leveled. And, you know, by the Redevelopment Authority. And there was a decision made to actually promote life sciences, information sciences.
Boy, they got it.
The knowledge economy. Mm-hmm. And they did. And it changed Cambridge from a former yeah. manufacturing city to a thriving, high-tech, well-educated.
Yeah.
And you know, just as the people came to work in the factories 100 years ago.
Now they're coming to work in the tech.
So, you know, when people get up and bothered about the fact yeah. that, you know, some people who are different incomes are pushing people out. I think, yeah, that's regrettable, and it's great if you can do some things to mitigate it.
The economy's stupid.
It's also part of the yeah. the changing nature of a yeah. city.
Yeah.
You know, and so some of it you should just sort of say, well, that's the changing nature of the city. You know, you don't just stop it. You know, you work around it. You know.
You know, Mark Zuckerberg, right? Zuckerberg, right? Not Zuckerberg.
Mr. Facebook?
I think is what, yeah. He has said that if Kendall Square had been developed like it has been, he would have had Facebook here. Maybe we're lucky.
Yeah.
Instead, no, seriously, because he sees what happened here.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of them are. Google has got big presence yeah. down there now. Microsoft, PayPal, I think Facebook is whatever.
Right.
But, yeah.
But, you know, I think it's a good case can be made that the strongest mm-hmm. amount of demand for housing around yes. here is actually for the people who
yes.
have some money and want it.
Yep.
You know, and the thing is that if you accommodate some of that,
you're good. Yep.
And actually, get back to New Street for a little bit.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of people who need self-storage. So there is some need for this,
I know,
this
you know,
too.
The only one commenter mentioned that we already have yeah. a storage facility, but I'd like to tell you that when I needed self-storage, you know, because of what happened to me, that I knew someone that was able to get me into, it's in high demand.
It is in high demand.
And there's a lot of places there. So, you know, you might want to say it's people storing junk, but it isn't. Some people have a business
right.
and they need to,
yeah.
you know, so well, I see the need for it.
They used to be the Metropolitan you know?
Storage
Warehouse down by MIT.
That's right.
And then MIT yeah. was repurposing mm-hmm. that for other reasons. Yeah. So they had to clear it all out. So that was a big
yeah.
loss.
No, and you know,
and I know people who do Cambridge people doing their yeah. self storage in Everett.
I know that, you know, someone said, well, they can get yeah. in a car and they don't go to it very often, they can do
that's
that.
Right.
Well, guess what?
That's
maybe
right.
not, because I know people that were displaced right. from where I was had to go to those places, and you know, they would have liked a lot more local option.
Yeah, so
I personally
wasn't particularly yeah. thrilled with this New Street zoning petition for a number of reasons.
Yeah, right.
But if you're just talking about saying, well, maybe yeah. we do need to respond to the demand because there are people who do
and it's zoned
want,
for
want
it.
This
they
and
can
do that,
officially do that.
I think there was something that could have been worked out.
But did
sure
you hear
there.
About something that was given to the councilors, though? I didn't see it. Something with this big, massive structure that could
I think
be
they
built
were,
if they didn't do this. It was like a scare. Do you have it?
No, I don't. Oh. But the thing is, in the classic new tradition of let's scare the daylights out of people.
Was it mailed to them or given to them at the meeting?
I don't know. But the thing is that...
Yeah, it was supposed to look like Darth Vader or something.
Yeah, so I think you know, trying to scare
That's
people into it wasn't going to work
wasn't
anyway.
Good.
Honestly, I didn't think that had the votes anyway. And the planning board voted it down as well, so...
Well, did they vote on it? I forgot. Or did it get...
They voted it. They voted on it. I think Jen... Mark McGovern wanted to table it to the following meeting so they could work out some details.
And people said, why bother? We know what we know.
Because George Bacharach was the principal there. They went, let's work something out.
Well, they wanted to get the other property owner. They wanted to find out more information. And finally, so it did get voted down.
Yeah, so what happened? So the thing is, there was a motion on the floor to table, which failed on a 4-5 vote. And then I believe Jan Devereaux, then I moved the question
present?
On it, and it failed. It failed miserably with 2 votes in favor and 7 against.
So that means
and the only 2 who voted for it were Simmons and Toomey.
Okay, so that means that we will probably get only storage unit now.
Probably true, but the thing is that the economic climate, the settings of Cambridge, if there is something you know, either housing or whatever that's feasible and doable, and somebody can make a good project out of an adjacent project parcel there, or but even
so,
on this
so
one.
So basically, they're out a couple $100,000 because they've had the permits, they've had there's paying for this, that.
Yeah.
But they don't actually own it, which that was news to me. So you know what?
Yeah.
Although he seemed to imply in his testimony that he did own it, said we own the property.
But the thing I think needs to be pointed out is, you know, this is a moving target.
Yeah.
Nothing in Cambridge currently is static. So if something gets blocked. You know, whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not going to say. But the thing is if it stops right there, it's not like somebody's going to say, well, let's just abandon that property. No, I mean, something will come.
Well, yeah, but they want it all affordable, and they want just to start to buy it outright. And they don't have the money. It's very confusing.
You know,
it's very confusing.
This whole practice of saying, well, if we think we don't have the votes, we'll sweeten the deal by pasting on some affordable housing units
I disagree with you about that, because just to start, who is a reliable player in the city wasn't supportive of it because it would cost them less, these units, than it normally would.
So it would have been a bargain for them. It's true. So the thing is, they would have...
22 units. Not to be sneezed at. Right, that's all they're talking about in the Sullivan Courthouse.
Right. Right. Well, listen.
You know.
As far as I'm concerned,
yeah.
A better resolution for the Sullivan Courthouse
would
have been to have Leggett McCall grab a chunk of money just to build, not 24, 50 units of affordable housing at a not too far away place.
In other words,
just go full office.
Well, they'd have to
building.
Get the property. Yeah.
You know, but that was actually done there to kind of sell it politically, you know?
Yeah. Well,
but, you know, the thing is that I think actually having those affordable housing units in the courthouse building is a little bit of a mismatch.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll work out, you know, knock it out of the park, right? But it's still kind of a weird thing.
But
it's the deal on the table.
Yeah. I thought to have it
it's
where
better
a
than
new
everything
street,
ever
to me seemed a little better to me. I mean,
Street is an evolving street. I remember New Street was just a road.
I always thought it was like
dump.
An alley. You know,
it
frankly, I just used
dump.
It to get to the back of the Fresh Pond Mall. So, yeah, do what you can, but I wouldn't personally want to live there. But, you know,
old stuff is being replaced by housing there, and maybe that'll
You've got Bonnie's
continue.
Garden Centers over there. I don't
It'll
think a
continue,
lot of different
so.
Things.
Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.